Good evening. Welcome everybody to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Brad and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey Brad.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. This is our preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, or organization, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. Tonight we are discussing step three, and I'd like to welcome our panel. We have Tula and David.
We got here.
And I will read the first paragraph, which starts on page 60, and then we'll hear from our speakers. Step three, this made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Page 60, our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. C, that God could and would if he were sought. I'm looking at Tula.
Hello, everybody. My name's Tula Carrasco. I'm an alcoholic. Should I be speaking into this thing?
Yes.
Hello, everybody. Tula Carrasco, alcoholic.
Hi, Tula.
I have a home group. It's the High Street Group. We meet in Portsmouth, Virginia. It's the oldest registered AA group in Portsmouth, Virginia, District 24, Western Tidewater. I have a sponsor. I sponsor other women when time and life permit. Actually, I have more service sponsees right now than I have regular sponsees, but that's okay. They keep me on my game, such as it is. And everything I am, I owe to Alcoholics Anonymous in these 12 steps and a God of my complete, total misunderstanding. I haven't got a clue what that even means. And the minute I start thinking I know something, I'm probably in big trouble. Because I used to know everything and I couldn't stay sober. And every minute I don't drink, there's a chance that I can get out of the way and just keep asking for guidance. This third step is so powerful. we have a prayer, which we're going to get to, and we don't say amen at the end of that third step prayer because the whole process of steps 4 through 9 is a prayer. How could I not fall in love with Alcoholics Anonymous and you people? Because I was a wreck of a human being when I got here. And it says here, after what you read, that being convinced we were at step 3. So everything Brad just read leads me up to, have I done a good job on 1 and 2? And if I have, then 3 just naturally flows. Because I got nowhere to go. I got nowhere to go. I'm going to either die or I'm going to get sober. Either God is everything or God is nothing. Okay, I've decided that I'm not going to die, hopefully. I've decided that God is everything. Now what? Okay, what am I going to do? Well, with that higher power, and with me, it was the idea of God, because I couldn't even believe that there was such a thing as God. I believed in that there's an idea of God. And that was enough for me to start this process. And I began to realize that without that power that I saw in you people, I was doomed to an alcoholic death, like many people in my family before me. And you know what? Some of us have to die, I found, then some of us get to live. And every breath I take is absolutely precious. And the older I get, the more precious life becomes. And I never thought I'd live to see that. And the third step to me is like opening the gates of hell, and it lets me out. They did say to me when I got here that we don't promise to open the gates of heaven to let you in, but we do promise that we can help you open the gates of hell and let you out. And that's how I felt when I got here. Thanks.
Thanks, Tula. Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic. My name's David.
Hey, David.
I'm grateful to be here and grateful to be sober tonight. My sobriety date's October 24th, 1989. This is my home group. I also have a sponsor. I work with other men. I wasn't here last week because I got sick. So I've spent the whole last week kind of under the covers, and I'm a little bit, I was sharing with somebody earlier, I'm a little bit on the depressive side. I get a cold and I kind of lose my will to live. I don't want to fight, you know, I just want to hide, and that's kind of where I've been. But I am really grateful to be here, and we're going to talk about selfishness too. And I'm going to selfishly say that I'm just thrilled to be sitting up here with Tula. I refer to Tula as my Tula. So if you think she's your Tula, you're wrong. It's my Tula. So, I'm the same. I love what we read. I got a friend of mine who always says, before I could even think about surrendering or doing Alcoholics Anonymous, I had to be convinced. Before I could surrender, I had to be convinced. And it talks about some things that we were convinced of. And we read it, you know, just about every meeting, that we're alcoholic and couldn't manage our own lives. I got here. I'm a guy who absolutely loved drinking. I love the effects of alcohol. I loved it from the minute I picked it up. I picked it up at a young age. It did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. You know, I took a drink of alcohol. I knew a new freedom and a new happiness. I didn't wish to shut the door on the past, and I could intuitively see how my experience would benefit you, and I would tell you a story, and financial insecurity was gone. Plenty more where that came from. Alcohol did all that for me. It did something for me I couldn't do for myself. I never felt that good in my whole 12-year-old life when I got drunk. And I washed up on the shores of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was 22 years old for the first time I came here. I'd been up for 3 or 4 days straight. My arms were black and blue from intravenous drug use. I was incoherent. I couldn't put two sentences together to convey an idea. I could grunt and click and object to things, you know, like, no, could I smoke in here? You know, I mean, that was the best I could kind of come up with. But that's where I met you people, and you guys told me kind of what's laid out here, that if you're an alcoholic, David, you're bodily and mentally different from other people. Mm-hmm. You got a body that once you start putting alcohol in it, a craving develops that'll never be satisfied. And then you put the plug in the jug, and you got a mind that's going to talk you and tell you it's okay to drink. And the third thing that they told me that I did not believe was that you can't do anything about it, David. You can't do it. And the reason I mention all that is because I spent the next 6 years coming in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous, trying to prove you guys wrong, trying to handle it, trying to move the pieces around, trying to, you know, I can see how crack's not going to further my career, and tequila's obviously a problem, you know. But if I just had Budweiser on a Friday night, you know, that'd be fine, wouldn't it? I'll stay home. I'll hide my keys. I'll keep my hands to myself, keep my mouth shut. I'd make all these deals, you know, and I couldn't. Sometimes I could pull them off for, you know, 12 hours or so. But, you know, you come to on Saturday morning, nothing bad happened last night, and I got no appointments for the rest of the day. that I'm off and running again. Mm-hmm. So that idea that, and I was vehemently atheist, okay? I mean, I don't mean agnostic. I mean, like, militantly atheist. I had invested hundreds of hours on bar stools talking about the ridiculousness of God. Mm-hmm. And I just was not about to, mm-hmm. to hand that over regularly or easily. So we got into this point, and he says the chapter to the agnostic, in other words, the whole book up to this point has been designed to convince me of these three things, mm-hmm. that I'm an alcoholic and I can't manage my own life. And my step two, what that looked like for me was I before I could even entertain the idea of coming to believe in a power greater than myself, I had to be convinced that I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that I knew for sure, that David of his own resources will get drunk again. I was convinced of that. And that wasn't an intellectual trip either. That was just a coming to after beating, after beating, after beating, going, oh, maybe those guys are right. Maybe I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And the man who helped me through this little hoop that God could and would if he were sought, was he just told me, look, we're going to seek God through doing the rest of these actions of AA. We don't have a spiritual awakening as the result of step two. We're going to do the rest of the steps, mm-hmm. David. And if you're willing... And that whole chapter before that just keeps telling me that I don't have to believe, but I have to be willing to believe. Mm-hmm. If a man can say that he's willing to believe, then he's on his way. And that was the hoop that you guys widened for me to proceed, to go further from here. Convinced that I can't do it myself. I need you. I need something that you've got. Tula called it the power in this room. I need this. I could see that you were doing better than me. Mm-hmm. I could hear your stories. I knew you'd been where I'd been and done what I'd done, and you were obviously doing better than me. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something here. Thanks.
We are going to continue on page 60. Being convinced, we were at step three, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, mm-hmm. is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only stay put, mm-hmm. if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. But, as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits.
How did they know this? How did they know? You know, and thank you, David, for your apt description of being convinced of what? Being convinced that I am powerless over alcohol before I take a drink, because that's the obsession of the mind, sooner or later, now, no matter how long I go without, and I did that for an entire white-knuckling year without alcohol, and I'm like, I don't need this drink. But I thought about it all the time. And then I'm also powerless over alcohol after I take a drink, and I cannot ever predict where I'm going to end up. I might end up with a broken arm. I might end up in jail. I may end up with having tea with the queen, although that has never happened yet. And, you know, it usually, I was listening to David's tape yesterday, and it said he never came out of a blackout doing charity work. You know? When I came out of a blackout, it was not a good experience, and I finally had to be convinced that after I take a drink, I'm powerless. Before I take a drink, I'm powerless. There has to be something. The power is not in me. It's somewhere. Where the heck is it? And that's when I became willing. And I also had no God to talk to. I didn't want any parts of any God that you had anything to do with, until somebody said, God to me spells gathering of drunks. You know, I'm one of those drunks. I needed to hear simple stuff before I ever understood a word of this book. People said stuff like, if you don't believe, believe that I believe. And I'm like, well, yeah, Eloise, you've got 6 years of sobriety. I have 6.5 minutes. Yeah, I believe you believe. She said, well, just go with that. I'm like, I can do that? She's like, yeah. So before I ever really understood the words that I was reading with her, the idea of God made sense, and then I could see the results of somebody else who believed in something. So that's where I started, and thank goodness it means action, 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 that my thinking is basically what my problem is, you know, the problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind. That was very hurt. My feelings were hurt when I read that. I'm like, really? But I have such a good mind. Yes, Tula, you have a high IQ, but you're insane. It's not a good combination. Got me in all kinds of trouble. And so the life run on self-will can hardly be a success. Every single word you read is true. I tried everything, geographic cures, moved to another country, lived with someone for 3 years, a really good man, and then he asked me to marry him, and I left the country. You know, that's what you do. You run. I was good at running. If it got hard, I'd got to see you later, smell you later. Never gave a thought to what other people I was hurting. And now that I am, by the way, sober since November 27th, 1991, by the grace of a loving God that I don't understand, and you guys, here I am. Never thought I'd be sitting here 24-plus years sober. Are you kidding me? And I've outlived so many people in my family, it's not even funny. But I'm very grateful that I ran out of time, I ran out of ideas, I ran out of people, I ran out of money, I ran out of excuses, and I had no more ideas of how I was going to control this substance called alcohol that I had to have to breathe. It was more important to me than breathing. And I couldn't imagine life with alcohol anymore, and I couldn't imagine life without it. And that is a hopeless place to be. And knowing that I have a body that can't handle alcohol, now I know it, I've tried it so many times, and I have a mind that tells me I can. Well, dang, that's not, that is a hopeless condition of mind and body. And I had to be desperate, I had to have that gift of desperation before I was willing to understand that all my life I've been trying to control every single thing. I am a total control freak, on steroids, drunk, dangerous, and left to my own devices. I am that hurricane that roars through the lives of others, and it never occurred to me until I hit that bottom that everything I did was always self-serving, self-seeking, selfish, self-pitying. God, I spent so many years in self-pity. I had a ring around my butt. I know y'all have heard that. I don't have a ring around my butt anymore, although I haven't looked. But I don't think it's there anymore because I don't sit around feeling sorry for myself. In fact, I was telling Corey, I'm so busy, I can't imagine when the heck did I have time to drink? Where did this energy come from? It came from something. I have more energy now at my ripe old age of 66 than I ever had when I was 40 or 30. I have more energy. What the heck is going on? This power comes in when I let me out of the way or ask for help to get me out of the way. And then something happens that I had nothing to do with except I showed up and I said, help me. And now I don't got to control Jack. I don't got to control anything. I suit up and I show up. All right, what's the plan today? Here am I, send me. This is one of my little prayers according. Also, this is the 11-step prayer too. But basically, I just pray a lot, I don't drink, and I stay busy in Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know what? That seems like a good recipe for living. I've met more wonderful people. And I do love everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'll fight you if you don't. I may not like everything about everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous, but that doesn't matter. I love you. If I needed you, I could call anyone in this room and I'd say, please help me. I have never had anybody yet turn me down. And I hope to goodness, I don't worry about that stuff. And you can call me too. If I can help you, I will. If I can't, I'll say, call David. Thanks.
When my kids were small, they were out on the playground, and this one little kid takes like a block away from this other little kid and smashes him over the head. And my kids weren't involved. I was, first of all, grateful that they hadn't perpetrated that, and that they weren't the ones getting hit. But then mommy says to the injured mommy, she goes, Jason loves a little rough. And I thought, well, that's a good way to put that. He smashed a block in his head. He loves a little rough.
Wow.
So I love everybody in AA, but I'll fight you. I love a little rough. So Yeah, so here we are, being convinced. I was thinking about, you know, I go to some pain to lay that out because for me, I didn't want this to be true. I didn't want to come to AA. I didn't think it was a good idea. I didn't know what you had that I wanted. You know, I didn't want what I have, but I wanted a way to manage it. Mm-hmm. And so I spent that 6 years and 6 months, six years trying to avoid this thing, and I surrendered to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was 6 months abstinent of alcohol. I didn't have a drinking problem when I picked up what I hoped to be my last white chip. I didn't have a drop of alcohol in me. But I was driving around the city of Norfolk looking for buildings to jump off of because I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't want to, you know, I couldn't imagine myself drinking, and I couldn't imagine not drinking anymore. So what's the point? It's kind of like I was opened up with. I catch a cold, I'm done. I quit. And I was suicidal when I came here. And so now I'm convinced that I can't solve the problem, and now what do I do? And he's going to start talking to us about, he's not even going to talk to us about drinking, I don't think, anymore for the rest of the night. He's going to talk to me about my selfishness, and my self will run riot. And the first thing, you know, we have no requirements for membership, right? You're a membership in a member of AA if you say you're a member of AA. It doesn't cost anything. You don't have to believe anything. You don't have to agree with it. But when you start moving through this little program of recovery, you start using languages like requirement and must and strenuous and now.
And vigorous.
And if you're like me, you can vigorously. And you can ignore that stuff. Skip a bit. Why do we all have that experience in AA where you read something and you go, I never saw that before.
Yeah.
You know, it's only 164 pages. How many times could you read it and not see it before? But my capacity to ignore what's in front of me must be huge. So it's asking me to be convinced that a life run on self-will can hardly be a success. I'm always in collision with other people. And he said, most people live by self-propulsion. I was raised to live by self-propulsion. You know, you want something done, son. You know, you want potatoes, you get a hoe. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Get her done. Ain't nobody going to come do it for you. And I started, you know, just trying to live my life and trying to battle alcohol like that, right? I just have to quit. If I got a drinking problem, I quit drinking. See, I think I have a drinking problem. Mm-hmm. And as Tula described, I got a thinking problem, and I got a relationships problem. I am absolutely the actor who wants to run the whole show. I see myself as being burdened with the gift of insight. You know, it's a burden I have to carry. I have the ability to walk into almost any situation and absolutely assess what needs to happen next. You know, what should be happening, what should be going on, how everybody should be treating me. You know, we had a little moment before the meeting because I didn't get greeted correctly. Ah, it's just disgusting. So I want to arrange everything in my own way, and then I get my. And then if I don't, and I love this little bit here where it says he describes me here. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous. That's me. You know, or even modest and self-sacrificing. God knows that's me, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. That could be me too. And but I will deploy these things if being nice gets me what I want, mm-hmm. I will be nice. And if that doesn't get the attention that I want, then I'll be me. I did it tonight. I mean, I did it tonight in my home. I was self-sacrificing. I went out and picked up the kids. I knew my wife had a rough day today. And so I wasn't scheduled to pick up the kids, but I rearranged stuff and I went out and I got the kids, and that was all fraught with trouble and traffic and stuff and I went and did that. And then I got him dinner and everything, so I'm thinking about her. And then I came home and I had a full expectation of recognition.
That's right.
Full expectation of recognition. So I trotted out my resume of kindness for her to recognize. And she kept failing to recognize it. And so as it failed to be recognized, then I was like, you know, I was thinking about you today, you know? I mean, it's not all about you. I had to go out of my way. So I got mean, egotistical, and selfish right there on the spot because I didn't get the one thing that I wanted, a little tiny bit of recognition. I'll turn the tables over for a little recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my nature. That seems to be my nature. And what I have learned, and we'll talk more about this stuff. So I guess I'm offering that to you. Nobody I know around here has a halo. And the stuff that I came in here with is still very much a part of me. But I've learned to practice a few other things too, you know. I can pause and I can pray, and I can say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I was looking for a little recognition, honey, and I was climbing up on the cross, and I wanted you to notice my suffering, you know." And we both have a dialogue like that because of this program. So, Yeah, that's me. I'm the actor. I want to run the whole show. And it just never goes quite the way I think. Mm-mm. Although I think that if it goes the way I think it should go, everyone will be happy, including me. Never happens. Thanks.
Okay. We are going to continue on page 61. What usually happens? The show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think life doesn't treat him right. He decides to exert himself more. He becomes, on the next occasion, still more demanding or gracious, as the case may be. Still, the play does not suit him. Admitting he may be somewhat at fault, he is sure that other people are more to blame. Mm-hmm. He becomes angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is his basic trouble? Is he not really a self-seeker, even when trying to be calm? Is he not a victim of the delusion that he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if he only manages well? Mm. Is it not evident to all the rest of the players that these are the things he wants? And do not his actions make each of them wish to retaliate, snatching all they can get out of the show? Is he not, even in his best moments, a producer of confusion rather than harmony?
Ouch. Man. My sponsor made me count how many times self was in here. I'm sure y'all have had to do the same thing. If you notice, there's a lot more self in this paragraph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And, you know, it starts, not that it matters how many times, but it's really getting into what my issue is, which is that I think I'm God, basically. In fact, my ego was probably born 5 minutes before I was. You know, came out and said, I'm here, she's coming. My ego is indestructible. It is, I have heard and read, Harry Tebow said that the ego will revive. You know, when the alcoholic is recovered, the ego will revive. And that's why I must stay in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had a person that I work with at work say, well, why do you still go to those meetings? You're 24 years sober. What are you still thinking about alcohol? And I just looked at him and I said, occasionally it does cross my mind. And we talk about it in places where it's safe to talk, because everyone in here for 1 hour does not have a drink in their hand. So it's safe for me to say that I'm an alcoholic. I'm not worried about drinking right now. And I also am recovered. It has been removed. The obsession is gone. And the 10-step promises are some of my very favorite. I love all the promises, which we may or may not get to tonight, the 3rd-step promises. But looking back on my life, it's like I didn't even really get born till I was 41. Not really. I didn't really even, I don't know what I was doing, what I thought I was doing existing, and flitting from flower to flower like, you know, some kind of bipolar bee or something. Just like, oh, this one. No, that one. No, this one. No, wait, that one. And nothing I ever did was enough. It was never enough. I have the disease or the illness of never enough. Money, men, mansions, status, security, success, not enough of any. Alcohol, not enough. Anything else, mind-altering, not enough. Never enough. And that is why some of us die. I just didn't drink enough to die. That's the only reason I'm not one of those people. So my goal in life is, whenever that time comes, which I hope is in 50 or 60 years, because I really want to be a great old broad in Alcoholics Anonymous. And my friends are like, too late, it's too late. You know? I really would love to, if it's the will of my Creator, to live to be 100. You know, I just think that would be so awesome, to get to live, to get to be of service, to actually have some wisdom, which I didn't ever have until I got a little bit older. And once I got out of the way, and I can't remove me out of the way. If I could get me out of the way, I wouldn't need you. I wouldn't need a God. But I can't, like David was saying, because I am so full of self. I'm drowning in self. I'm totally drowning. It's coming out of every pore. I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to kill myself or not kill myself. I don't want to drink anymore because it doesn't work anymore, but I don't know what to do if I don't drink, and nobody will answer the phone, and there is no more money, and there is no more nothing. And, oh boy, the self-pity. Poor Tula. poor Tula, poor motherless child. Oh, the world, you know. And I realized that that's my problem, is that I think I'm the one that suffered more than you, more than certainly more than him, you know. And the truth is that everybody has that same black hole that you can't fill. I have a God-shaped hole that I kept trying to fill with something else, and there's only one thing that fits in a God-shaped hole. So no matter how much I tried to arrange the play to suit me, I was delusional. And I realized that reading this, that I was absolutely delusional, which means I was insane, thinking that if only this would happen, if only I had this car, if I only had that many hundreds of dollars in my pocket, if only I weighed this weight, or if I only had that color hair, or if only, you know, all of that external crap, the Kardashianization of America. Shoot me now, you know. I am so, and that's an opinion. Today, I just want to live a real life. I just want people to be able to see who I am. I just want to, that's why I love Alcoholics Anonymous, because all that crap is gone. I could care less what you drive. You have a car? That's nice. Good for you. I don't care what it is. You live in a nice house? That's nice. Good for you. I don't care where you live. I care not how much money you have, because money never made me happy. But you people did. This program, these 12 steps, have done something remarkable. They've taken, as I said at the assembly this weekend, a broken down, pitiful old drunk, and I've been transformed by these 12 steps into somebody useful. And that can't happen. That's, and Liza, you've heard it said many times, like, you can't get there from here. You can't get there from here unless there is something greater. And you guys have helped me to get there, and I really thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk much on this paragraph, but it again, it's my resume, you know? What happens, the show doesn't come off. I've got all my little ducks in a row, got all my little plans and designs. I'm under the delusion that if I can get this under control, get this all lined up, get the money right, get the honey right, get the house right, get the car right. Mm-hmm. If only my car was clean. If my car was clean, I'd feel better.
That's right.
You know, I make all these plans, and then I do, and then the show doesn't come off. I still don't feel well. I love this line. Admitting he may be somewhat at fault, you know. I got a friend of mine who says if an alcoholic is absolutely, completely to his soul convinced that he's wrong, the most you'll ever get out of him is, you might be right. You know, I might be somewhat at fault, you know, but it's definitely those people, you know. And when I first met, that was really doing that inventory, you know. Who are you mad at, David? I'm mad at because. I'm mad at her because. I'm mad at him because. I'm mad at the boss because. And you pull up a bar stool right now anywhere in America, that's what's going on. I'm mad at so-and-so because. It's all their fault, mm-hmm. you know. So that's kind of my default mode. I'm fine. You people are screwed up. And so I still think if I manage well, I'm going to do fine. And I love the little bit in the end there about, am I not even in my best moments a producer of confusion rather than harmony? I mean, like, in the little silly little example with my wife tonight, if I'd have just come to the table with, hey, I kind of went out of my way and I'm a little embarrassed to tell you I'm looking for some recognition, I could have brought her that. That would have been the truth. Right? And she would have said, you're a silly man, and we would have moved on. I didn't have to trot out my resume. You know what I mean? She, why is he telling me all this? You know, it's confusing. So, right? Well, that's nice, David. You know, that's great. So, yeah, that's me. Thanks.
All right, we will continue on page 62. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of the selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible, and there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us have had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help.
Wow. Yeah, you could spend a whole meeting on one paragraph, and any one of these one paragraphs. I'm an extreme example of self-will run riot, and I usually don't think so. Correct. I must be rid of the selfishness. Really? Why can't I just keep some? Do I have to really get rid of all of it? And then it says we must or it kills us. Well, I do know people that have died because of that, and I can't get rid of it myself. God makes that possible. Every word in here, in my experience, is absolutely, for me, true. Moral, my sponsor made me look up, even though I'm college educated, she made me look up words. It was very insulting. And moral means true, truth. And I had no morals when I got here. What the heck are they talking about, moral? Philosophical convictions galore, yep. And none of those worked because I was still trying to control it. and it's a sick mind can't heal a sick mind, which I finally found out. And this is a decision step, like first and second step are conclusions. And then this is a decision. I make a decision. I'm going to do something, which is steps 4 through 9. And all of this is so beautifully arranged. It just blows me away that he was 3 years sober when he wrote these down. It just blows me away. And that we had to have God's help. It says it more than once in this one paragraph. God makes it possible. We had to have God's help. I wonder what they're trying to tell me. Tula, get out of the way. You have ruined your life. I can ruin my life in the morning before I ever take a pee. Between the bed and the bathroom, I can ruin the rest of my life, you know, because I'm all up in my head. And so the only way out of that without shooting myself in the head is I have to be willing to make this decision. And you know what the beautiful thing is? That I didn't have to do this alone. I never have to do it alone. And I've had plenty of examples around me of people who had already done it, and I could see that they were happy. These people were smiling. Why? Because they had done all 12 steps in order with a sponsor. So that started to really look like that is something I want. I do want what they have. And this book tells me how to get it. And so here I am. Thank you.
Yeah, so our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. I worked with the man that I think of as my sponsor. I have another sponsor today who's my sponsor, but when I think about my sponsor, I think about Bo. I worked with him for about 8 years. And I would call Bo with just the litany du jour, you know, of God, oh, and here's what she said, and here's what they did, and blah, blah, blah. And I'd go on and on and on and on, and he'd say really spiritual stuff to me like, oh, well, you're giving a genius mind like me the oh, well, you know? My troubles are of my own making. What if everything was just fine, David? You know? What if everything was just fine? Mm-hmm. So it says, above everything, I have to be rid of this selfishness. Above everything. I must or it kills me. So it gives me the statement of priority, right? Above everything. And that I must it'll be fatal. And then it tells me that I can't do it. God makes that possible. See, this is starting to get insulting to a guy like me. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to tell me how to fix me. And it says, no, you can't fix you. You have no power here, Dorothy. I had moral and philosophical convictions galore. I absolutely believe that it's the right thing to do to not hit people, to tell the truth, to keep your promises. What goes around comes around. These are all moral and philosophical convictions that I have. But if you frighten me, I will lie to you. If you threaten me, I will fight you. If I need to be mean, I will be mean to get what I want. I can't live up to this on my own steam. Sober, I can't live up to this on my own steam. So we can't wish it away either, you know. I was in a meeting one night, and this guy was talking about the day that he'd had, and it was full of resentment. And he was just describing wanting to just punch faces and chomp eyeballs, and he was just so mad, and they had just grrr, he had everybody in the room's attention. Everybody was like, yeah, I know what that feels like. I'm down. Yeah. Screw him, you know. And then he says, and I know what I got to do about it. And I thought, I know what you got to do about it too. Tell the people, tell them. And he goes, I've just got to let it go. And I went, oh. Man, if I could just let it go, I wouldn't need to be here. I wouldn't need 12 steps. I wouldn't need a sponsor. I wouldn't need a higher power. If David could consult David and just let it go. That sounds like wishful thinking to me. Yep, that's me. Thanks.
All right, we will continue on page 62. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter, in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom.
I remember when I first really started to just believe, for no reason at all, except that I could see it work for you guys, that I was actually going to live. I was not going to die drunk. I was actually going to live. This was a new idea. This was a new idea. I'm going to live. And then I have a picture here that my sponsor made me draw of a new and triumphant arch. And the keystone is the middle stone, as you all know. And that's the one that holds the arch together, because without that middle stone, the arch can't hold. It'll collapse. And so the idea, the God idea, I got to stop playing God. And, you know, it says he was the father and we were his children. And I said, well, God, I don't have a mother, so if you will be my father, will you be my mother too? Excuse me. I said, will you be my mother too? And I didn't get a no. So when I pray now, this is just for me, I say, dear Heavenly Father, Mother, so far I haven't been struck by lightning, and now I have a mother. So it's the silliest things that we, I don't think that whatever created me cares what I call whatever it is. I think I limit it by even naming that. But the idea that something created me and that cares about me and wants good for me, yeah, I want that. A director? I sure haven't had that for a while. Principal? All of these concepts that I have a new employer, I love that, that's in the next paragraph. I live by that. I live and breathe by that. You know what? My favorite commercial, and I don't like commercials, is Hebrew National. We answer to a higher power. We answer to a higher authority. I'm like, yes, I want that hot dog. You know? That's my hot dog. You know? You know, it's so funny. So much ego. So much ego. And here's something telling on myself. The idea that I am so incredibly insane and sick that I need God to fix me appeal to my alcoholic ego. Like, yeah, I am bad to the bone. Only God can fix this.
Yeah.
Bring it. You know, and I mean, how? I can laugh at that, but that's the alcoholic ego. And my goodness, that's alcoholism. That's where it is, easing God out. So getting the ego out of the way, now I can make room for this new employer, for this power that cares about me. And with that power, I can go forward through the rest of the steps, because that's the decision. I'm going to take this power that I don't understand, that you people obviously do believe in, because it changed you, and I'm going to just do what you tell me. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to have another plan. I'm out of ideas. Tell me what to do. And that is, and on my knees, no less, on the next page. That's a good place for an alcoholic, on my knees. You know? And I wasn't getting paid either. But yet, I know that was a very bad joke, but at the same time, I was getting paid way more than money, because the what I got paid is a new life, and I really was reborn. I am so not the same person. I can be a jerk, yes, and I can still be selfish, and my motives are terrible. I still want you to like me, and that's probably never going to go away. That is my nature. I like people to like me. I like people. But, you know, he takes my character defects. He, she. Oh, my God is a tranny. I just realized that. I'm kidding. But my defects become assets because I never know which ones he's going to take. And me showing my butt or showing how human I am actually can help some other suffering alcoholic. And they go, wow, man, she is messed up. But she's sober. So if she can make it, maybe I can too. That's all I got. Thanks. I think that's enough.
This is my favorite paragraph until we read the next one. Now, I love this, and I love the way Bill writes, and Tula absolutely said it. You're welcome to agree with it or not, but I absolutely believe that this paragraph contains the decision that we're being invited to make in the third step. And I love the way he writes. It's like, this is the how and why of it. I always kind of, when I read it to myself, I have like comma, dummy. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the how and why of it. Are you listening? You know, so it says, first we had to quit playing God. And what does that mean? You know, he told us in the other chapter, don't let spiritual terms deter you from asking yourself what they honestly mean to you. And when I think about it, what does that mean to me, playing God? You know, like I'm not so far gone delusional that I think I'm making the moon go around the earth and the planets spin and the day and turn into night and all that kind of stuff. I'm not that crazy. Right, but what does playing God mean to me? And it kind of goes along the lines of what we've been reading. Mm-hmm. I think I know best. I think I know what ought to happen. I think I know what you should do. I think I know how this business should run. I think I know how this meeting should run. I think I know how I should be greeted. I should be treated. I think I know what's best.
That's right.
So that's me, the actor who wants to run the whole show. I've been hired to come in the third act. Stand in the third row of the chorus and hit the triangle on the third measure, fourth beat. Ding! That's my job. But I'm not satisfied with that. I want to conduct the symphony, you know. I can't read music, but that doesn't matter to me. So I've got to quit playing God. And then the decision that he's asking me, why? Simple sentence. It doesn't work, David. That's why. It doesn't work. So we're going to make a decision. Next, we decided that hereafter, from this moment, right now, mm-hmm. on, that God's going to be the director. And he gives me three, like I work with a lot of men, and not every man that I meet in Alcoholics Anonymous has the idea of a father. When you say father to that guy, he doesn't get a benevolent, loving, kind, embracing sort of an image, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us have that experience, right? So saying, you know, God the Father. Well, that's not a very attractive image to me. But so he gives me three to pick from. God could be the director of the play, and you're just the actor. Can you get along with that, David? How about a business analogy? He is the principal, and you are the agent. The agent carries out the will of the principal, right? It's a business arrangement. I've contracted you to do my will. You're my agent. Or if it's palatable, father, child. And he says, he's the father, we're his children. Most good ideas are simple, right? That's a simple idea. And this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch. And for years, I thought, you know, I had, you know, somebody would say the keystone idea, and I'd say, God, gotta have God. And people would tell me that. You know, you pulled up the stones, you can go to a bunch of meetings and say a bunch of prayers and do a bunch of service work, but without that keystone, God, that whole archway is going to collapse. And I'd run around thinking that God's the keystone. But that's not what this says. It says the concept is the keystone. My attitude about God seems to be the keystone. Like, God is whatever God is and always has been, but what's my attitude towards God? And this is when having a relationship with God began to mean something to me personally, because that was one of those phrases that would leave me cold. You know, people in AA talk about it all the time. I've got a relationship with God today. I never knew what that meant. You know, is Jesus riding shotgun with you? I don't know what that means. It would kind of irk me. But this is a description of a relationship, and it's a subordinate one. That he is the principal, I'm the agent. He is the director, I'm the actor. He's the father, I'm the child. That's what my attitude. The invitation is to take that attitude, David. Take that position. That's the concept. And that flipped a lot of stuff in my mind when that penny kind of dropped. Thanks.
Okay. This is our last paragraph on page 63.
Oh, my.
We were now at step three. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may be a witness to those I would help with thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him.
Wow. I can spend an hour on that one. I say that third step prayer a lot, and I offer myself to whatever created me, and I love this prayer. It is a very powerful prayer for me, and every word of it has come true. But what I'm really doing is saying, take me, relieve me of the bondage of self, so that there's room for me to do those 4 through 9 steps, because I couldn't do it without this. Left to my own devices, reading the big book by myself, didn't understand a word of it. What the heck are they talking about? But now, with a sponsor's help and a dictionary, I begin to comprehend that this is a program of action, and that I have, and this is my action, is to say the prayer on my knees with my sponsors the way I did it, and there's no amen, because it's just the beginning of the process, and the amen comes after the 7th step, as you already know. But you know what? That's amazing to me. That's a spiritual experience right there. Wow, I'm going to be relieved of the bondage of self? Holy mackerel, in 41 years, I've never been relieved of the bondage. I've been in bondage my whole life. I've been in mind jail, in Tula jail. Can't get away from it. Can't get released. You know, I keep getting sent back to jail. I get out for 5 minutes, then I wake up. Oh, man, I'm back in jail in my own mind. Alcohol was the only thing that ever took that away, and then it stopped working, so I'm left without anything unless I begin to believe. And then that last paragraph we read, it said, most good ideas are simple, and this concept. So again, it's not even, they're not telling you have to believe in God. They're not even saying that. They're saying it's a concept. It's an idea. That appealed to me. Because I didn't want any dogma. I didn't want you to tell me that there was some guy on a white robe and keeping, you know, with score, and I wasn't looking real good on the ledger. I didn't like that idea. I liked the idea of something all loving. And that's what really helped me get sober. So I still say that prayer today. And if you haven't ever had this experience yet, if you'd like to be free, I invite you to tell your sponsor or find a sponsor and say, I'd like to walk through these 12 steps. I'd like to take these actions because I want to be free. I want to give this bondage of self away. I don't want it no more. I don't want it. It's almost killed me, and I don't want it. I have no idea what's coming in its place, but I'm trying to make a little bit of room in here. Wow, what a prayer. Thank you.
Thanks, Dora. Yeah, once I come this far, being selfish and self-centered and wanting to run the show, and now I'm open to the idea of God on my own power, my default mode is sort of like, yeah, man, I need God. And now I'm going to go do what I want and invite God to help me, you know. And that's doesn't seem to be the position that he's asking me to take here, you know. That I'm, once again, like we talked about, I'm offering myself to him to build with me and to do with me as he wishes, as thou will. You know, relieve me of the bondage of self. I would love that. I wake up every morning in the bondage of self. I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could report to you that after 26 years of sobriety, I wake up and think, it's another day. This is going to be awesome. But I do not wake up that way. I wake up like, yikes. What am I going to have to... We talk about the guys that I work with, we talk about my mind is like a vulture on the headboard, you know, waiting waiting for me to wake up. You know, as if there's been a whole committee meeting during the night. It's like, we're glad you're awake, David. We've reevaluated a lot of things you thought were handled last night, and they're not handled. And we're, get some coffee. We'll talk about it. You know, and I'm the idiot that goes, really? Tell me more. You know. So my default mode is sort of in the bondage of self. What do I think about it? What shall I do about it? What's my opinion about it? That kind of chatter's always going on with me. So I'm asking the Father to remove that because I apparently don't have the power to do it. Take away my difficulties. I like that part. So that David feels better? Nope. So that victory over them might be an example of the people you can help. Remember them? Mm-hmm. Of God's love, God's power, and God's way of life. May I do thy will always. And I called my buddy Eric the other day. He's been living in Canada for about 6 months. He just started working with another sponsor. I said, how's it going with your sponsor? And he goes, I got an exercise this weekend. I said, what do you do? And he goes, I'm thinking well. I was like, what? What do you mean I'm thinking well? Well, we did the first couple of steps, and we talked about the third step, and he sent me home to think well before I take this step. And he wants to talk to me about what I thought well about on Monday. And I thought, that's cool. I'm not going to do that. And then the other thing, and it's been said tonight, and I'm just gonna underscore it. Like, again, we haven't had a spiritual awakening as the result of taking the third step either. We're not even going to leave the page, and it's going to say next we launch out on a course of vigorous action. So we're going to make a decision to get on with steps 4 through 9. Thanks.
All right. Can we thank Tula and David for sharing their experience? All right, I'm going to pass the seventh tradition basket right now, which states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service.
That's right.
It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local offices, district, area, and general service office remain self-supportive. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. At this time, does anybody have any AA-related announcements?
All right.
All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Could all home group members raise their hands? Newcomers, is there anyone here tonight in his or her first 30 days of sobriety? If so, could you please introduce yourself by your first name? This is not to embarrass you, so we can get to know you.
I'm Cheryl. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Anyone
else?
Hi, my
name is
Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick. Welcome.
Anyone else? Okay. We do have literature available for sale. Where is it? Right over here. The pamphlets are free, and the books are, we sell them at cost. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. If you have questions, or would like additional information about sponsorship in AA, you can come up to the thing here, and I'll be happy to answer any questions about that. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the front doors to the church, as we share this facility with church members. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, which is simpleactions.net. Can we one more time thank our panel again for sharing their
experience?
I'd like to thank all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight. At the meeting, after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, which is on 22nd and Colonial. Could someone please read the last couple paragraphs on page 164?
Am I still here too?
Anybody got a book out there?
I'll do it.
Dave, I'll do it.
You got it? Got it, Steph? Go, girl.
meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.
All right.
Amen.
We will close with the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, there's a lot of people here tonight that I know. These Norfolk people. I know, I'm in front of Paul. I love you too. And there's Norfolk people too.
Our Father,